It has happened again, yet again, another heartless, evil monster has claimed the lives of 26 people this time, leaving over 20 wounded and many, many families damaged and scarred forever. Fortunately, an armed citizen, a citizen warrior, a pair of citizen warriors, was able to put a stop to him, but unfortunately not before he could do the incredible amount of damage that he did. This is Josh Bells. You're listening to the Citizen Warrior Podcast from Appalachian Tactical Academy. Now, before we get going today, we're going to knock out a couple little podcast housekeeping issues, and then we're going to jump back into the topic and talk about Stopping the Killing. Okay, that's the name of today's episode, Stop the Killing. So, let's talk the housekeeping items. First thing, this is the first episode of the Citizen Warrior Show, the official podcast of Appalachian Tactical Academy, and I plan to do this as a weekly show, just to give you, the Citizen Warrior, information and education so that you can go forward and do the right thing so that, you know, as according to Appalachian Tactical Academy's motto, you can be a warrior, protect what's yours, and do what's right. Now, the next thing, as far as housekeeping goes, this show is not a paid show, okay? I'm not making any money just to record and post this thing on the internet. So if you would be willing to support the show and support what I'm doing here, the easiest way to do that, and it doesn't cost you anything extra if you already shop at Amazon.com, is to use my Amazon affiliate link when you go to do your shopping on Amazon. If you go to the show notes for this podcast episode, those are found at AppalachianTacticalAcademy.com/episode001. I say again, AppalachianTacticalAcademy.com/episode001. If you go to that page, you can listen to this podcast. You can see the links to news postings and resources that I'm going to reference in this show. And there's also a button on there that says support the show. If you click on that, and then after you click that button, you go do your shopping on Amazon.com. It won't change anything about your Amazon shopping experience. You'll still pay the same, and everything else will remain the same, but this show will get a little bit of a kickback from Amazon for clicking on our link. Final housekeeping thing, I'm recording this podcast while I'm on a drive, while I'm on the road, so if there's any road noise, you know, I apologize for that. I don't think it will prevent you from hearing what I've got to say. Excuse me. But, you know, if you hear extra noise in the background, that's the cause of it. So, with that said, let's get into it. So, like I said, today, the title of today's episode is Stop the Killing. Because these active killer incidents, what we know about these things is that these murderers, these mass murdering evil fiends will continue to kill unimpeded, either until they've just decided they've had enough or somebody stops them. And many times, as far as the statistics go, stopping, okay, aborting these killers' rampages saves lives, okay? They fewer overall deaths and fewer wounded when armed people intervene and put a stop to these things. So what I want to do is lay some groundwork for you. This episode, this is just Stop the Killing Part 1. We'll have another Stop the Killing Part 2 where I talk about what you can do. But today we're just going to lay some groundwork. So let me throw some facts at you about these active killer incidents. And I think these are important to know, because what we often have happen is, of course, this anti-gun argument, right? You have the NRA and other pro-gun groups saying, you know, the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is with a good guy with a gun. And, you know, I mean, the phrasing of that, I guess, is a little corny or whatever, but it's not. It's the absolute truth, okay? We stop these incidents, we stop these rampages with force, by meeting force with force. You know, and it's crazy to me that this has to be explained to people, and that anti-gunners, gun grabbers, whatever, try and actually argue against this, because, you know, I feel like if you went back to the Middle Ages and you said, hey, there's some kind of brigand, some kind of bandit trying to, you know, to come here to massacre all of you and steal all your stuff, what do you want to do about that? Everyone would probably tell you, well, I want swords and bows and those sorts of things of my own. I want weapons of my own to deal with this this armed threat. So I'm not sure why people want to live and deny. Well, actually, I take it back. I am sure. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. So let's get into some statistics and actually talk about the truth of rapid mass murders or active killing sprees. So this evidence, the source for this evidence, the original source, that is Ron Borsch. And Ron Borsch is a police trainer in the Cleveland area. The secondary source, I guess you could say, for this is Greg Elifritz's blog, Active Response Training, which is found at activeresponsetraining.net. He has shared this information from Ron Borsch. And like I said, you can find links to Greg's articles containing Ron's information on this episode's webpage in the show notes. So Ron Borsch has collected some of the most extensive and comprehensive statistics and facts surrounding what he calls rapid mass murder, okay, which, you know, most people would call an active killing spree or something to that effect. He has used data in the past going all the way back to 1975, analyzing rapid mass murders from the present day all the way back to 1975 to draw conclusions about, you know, how these things go, what stops them, and what's effective, what's ineffective. His most recent data that I know of, okay, that Greg Elifritz has put on his website, is a five-year analysis spanning from 2010 to 2014. And there's some bad news and some good news. So as compared to the rest of his statistics going back to 1975, the 2010 to 2014 data shows, you know, first of all, the bad news, which is that rapid mass murders are on the rise. And I want to take a pause here to define, to explain how Ron defines rapid mass murder. Okay, so we see lots of crazy statistics, again, often from anti-gun people, people who have an agenda that involves, you know, guns being bad, and they want to take the guns away from you or make them harder for you, a law-abiding citizen warrior, to get. But, and so they throw out these crazy statistics, like, you know, 300 and something, you know, mass shootings in the year 2013, or what, you know, whatever it is that they say. And the reality is, when you define, like, any time somebody gets shot as a mass shooting, yeah, you can make up statistics like that. But we all know what we're really talking about here when we talk about rapid mass murder or a mass killing or a mass shooting. And what we're talking about is when one lone actor, or maybe a small team, but for Ron's purposes, specifically one individual, goes into a public place and proceeds to kill indiscriminately people that, you know, have nothing to do with anything else going on. So Ron defines this as when one killer goes into a public area and murders or attempts to murder four or more people in less than 20 minutes. Okay, so back to the stats. Like I said, in the 2010 to 2014 time frame, rapid mass murders, the total number of them increased from times previous. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. In aggregating his previous data, what he found was that 50% of the time, an individual intervenes and aborts the rapid mass murder, stops the killing. However, in the 2010 to 2014 time frame that we're talking about, what he actually found was that a rapid mass murder aborts rose significantly, and 65%, almost two-thirds, of rapid mass murders were stopped by the intervention of a person. Now, I keep saying of a person, you know, because we're talking all aborts, all stops here. I've not specified certain groups. So now let's talk about that. So out of all active killer, rapid mass murders, active killer incidents, rampages from 2010 to 2014, 35% of them were stopped by law enforcement, and 30% of them were stopped by citizens. Now, in the case of citizens specifically, that includes all citizen aborts, all citizen stops. That's armed and unarmed. And most of the time, when a citizen intervenes and stops the killing, he is actually unarmed. So think about that for a second in the context of, you know, what is likely and what happens. So again, let's put ourselves back in the shoes, back in this debate room, if you will, back in the shoes of this person who's saying, ah, well, you know, guns only make it worse. Normal people don't have the training, don't have the skill, don't have the judgment to go in and affect an active killer situation. And in fact, all you're gonna do is you're gonna make it worse by pulling out your own gun. You're gonna start a shootout. It's gonna be a shootout, okay? Absolutely ridiculous. 30% of the time that an active killer begins a rapid mass murder spree, a citizen, either armed or not armed, puts a stop to it. Okay, 30% of the time. Now, that's not as high as we'd like it to be, okay? However, that's pretty significant. You know, the alternative there is that a third of the time, more than normal, the active killer is just able to keep going until he's had his fill of murder and carnage and decides to end it himself. So I'll take a 30% quicker end. You know, 30% of the time, these things having a quicker end to them any day. Now, obviously, these are also not situations where, you know, this is not cases where the citizen is making it worse, right? In 30% of these cases, the citizen's making the situation significantly better, okay? Because someone going around actively killing people is about as bad as it can get, all right? You don't really make it worse than that. I'm not saying there's no possible way to make it worse than that. I mean, I guess you could set the building on fire at the same time that this is all going on. But that's pretty much already a worst case scenario. So in 30% of instances, a citizen intervenes and puts a stop to it. Yeah, absolutely. I'll take that. I'll take that 7 days a week. Okay, every day of the week, twice on Sunday. Now, let's look at a final bit of data here from Ron Borsch that I want to call your attention to. Okay, 80% of the time that citizens intervene and successfully put a stop to an active killer, it is a single citizen acting alone that does this. Okay, 80% of the time. So out of those 30%, you know, all active killings, 2010, 2014, 30% of them were stopped by citizens. 80% of that 30%, it was a single citizen acting alone. Okay? 70% of law enforcement stops were a single officer responding alone. Okay? So the majority of rapid mass murder aborts the majority of instances of citizens or law enforcement stopping the killing. The overwhelming majority, a single citizen or a single officer makes the stop. Okay? Again, I want you to consider that in terms of what is possible, in terms of what the actual, the truth on the ground of these situations, what's actually possible. We're talking about stopping the killing, okay? The majority of the time, so first of all, from 2010 to 2014, the majority of the time, either citizens or law enforcement stop the killing. Out of that, the overwhelming majority of those stops are performed by single citizens or single officers acting without outside support. All right? I explain all this to you to tell you this is possible. Okay? This is realistic. Don't get wrapped up and bent out of shape and think that, what could I do? Okay, I could never do anything. The naysayers are right. I'm just some idiot carrying around a gun who's untrained and blah, 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 blah. All right, don't buy into that crap. Understand the reality. When you go armed with the facts, the G.I. Joe thing, right? Now you know, knowing is half the battle, okay? When you're going forth armed with the facts and you know what you are capable of and what is realistic and what's probable, okay, you can act with greater confidence. Now listen, I am not saying that this is just a walk in the park, that going up against an active killer, especially when you consider the circumstances that often surround these situations, i.e. The killer being armed with a long gun, and most, if you carry concealed, chances are all you've got is a pistol, right? Or maybe even, and again, in many of these cases, citizens responding unarmed, okay? I'm not saying that it's easy. I'm not saying it's a walk in the park. And I'm not saying that people don't fail in the process of doing this sometimes, that they don't, get injured or get killed themselves in the process of trying to stop the killing. What I am saying is that from 2010 to 2014, two-thirds of rapid mass murders were aborted by individuals who intervened and act heroically, okay? If no one had even attempted to act, if no one had tried at all, that would not be the case. In that case, 0% of rapid mass murders would have been aborted. But that's not where we're standing today. Where we're standing is that in this five-year period from 2010 to 2014, two-thirds of rapid mass murders were stopped when someone intervened, okay, when they met force with force. Now, what follows, okay, next thing I'm going to talk about, so again, let that sink in. Think about those facts. Think about what that means for your response. Now, here's the thing. On this show, I'm going to frequently tell you, this is what I think you should do. But what I tell you is just that. It's just what I think you should do. Okay? You listening to this show are a grown adult responsible for your own actions. So you have to make your own decisions. All right? I can't make your decisions for you. So when you consider these possibilities, understand the danger inherent in, say, deciding you're going to intervene in a rapid mass murder situation, and understand what you need to do to prepare for a situation like that. Don't just think in terms of gear and what gun you carry and that sort of thing, although that is important. Think in terms of how to get your mind right, how to have the courage to do what you need to do in a situation like that. Think about the tactics you're going to employ, how you're going to go about attacking that problem, the skills you need to develop in order to deal with that situation. Okay, so now, for a little bit of extra motivation, a little bit of extra inspiration, I want to talk to you about what happened in Sutherland Springs, Texas, itself, like what actually happened there. So on Sunday, this past Sunday, the evil monster, whose name I will not say, entered the First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs, Texas, and began shooting people. Now, listen, one thing I want to make clear here is people in times like this, especially people who are not warriors, okay, people who don't think in terms of, you know, the reality of the world and of good and evil and the fact that evil is real and that something needs to be done to stop it, they you know, throw their hands up and they wail and they gnash their teeth and they say, why? How could something like this happen? And what I'm going to tell you is, you know, number one, it doesn't matter why that happens. It doesn't matter how something like that could happen. What matters is that it can and it does. And you have to be ready to deal with that when it happens. And you can't be in denial. But the second thing I'll tell you is the answer to your question is because evil is real. Okay? There are evil people in the world who do evil things. And maybe we could go back and we could analyze this guy's childhood or this or that. But for our purposes of responding to these things, that doesn't matter. Okay? The why beyond because he's evil or because evil happens, because people do evil things, the why beyond that is irrelevant to your preparedness as a citizen warrior. Okay? So why he did it, who knows? We suspect that, law enforcement suspects that the reason why he targeted that specific church was his wife and possibly his wife's family attend there or in the past have attended that church. He's also apparently a known atheist, commonly talking about how stupid people of faith were. So, whatever reason, this individual, this monster, had a lot of hate in his heart, and he decided to act that out, okay? Now, once he was done killing, at that particular location anyway, leaving 26 dead and 20 more, maybe more than that, wounded, he exited the church. A local plumber by the name of Stephen Williford heard the shooting, and he grabbed his rifle and ran toward the church. As this monster was exiting the church, Williford and this monster got into a fight. Okay, they got into a gunfight. Williford, he manned up. He did what an armed warrior citizen is there to do. And he put rounds into the soft, fleshy bits on this monster. This monster got into his SUV and escaped. Again, really brave, right? When he's up against somebody else with a gun. Just an absolute, you know, stud, right? No, of course, he's a coward. And he was not prepared to fight somebody else who was willing, who had the courage and the willingness to do what was needed. A local man by the name of Johnny Langendorf, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, saw this gunfight happen as he was driving by, as he was, I believe, stopped at an intersection. And Williford approached the Langendorf's vehicle, said, "Hey, this just happened. We need to go after this guy." He jumps into Langendorf's truck, and the two pursue this monster so that they don't lose sight of him, so that he doesn't get away and continue his spree at another location. Over the course of the next several minutes, they give chase. Langendorf saying that at times he was going over 95 miles an hour, until eventually this piece of human filth, this monster, loses control of his vehicle and goes off the road. When this happens, Langendorf and Williford stop their vehicle. Williford gets out and he maintains cover on this monster's SUV until law enforcement arrive. Law enforcement gets on scene and they find him dead. At this point, they're reporting that they don't know if it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound or whether he died from the wound sustained in the gunfight that Williford dealt to him. However, my take on that is it's irrelevant. At the end of the day, the person who stopped this, the people who stopped this, were Williford and Langendorf. And it doesn't matter if ultimately, when met with his final fate, he decided to take the coward's way out and shot himself or not. That's really irrelevant, because at the end of the day, these heroes acted with disregard for their own safety, and their actions led to this monster being in the dirt, okay? So, you know, we throw around the term, you know, this is just a personal opinion of mine. In this day and age, we throw around the term hero like it's cool, okay? We throw this out there, and, you know, every teacher's a hero, every cop is a hero, every fireman's a hero, every soldier is a hero. And the reality is, no, not every one of these people are heroes, okay? I served in the military, and you know what? They paid me to do it. I raised my hand, I signed up, I decided it was something I wanted to do, and they paid me to do it. So that doesn't make me a hero. That makes me a guy who did what I was supposed to do. And the same is true of all these other people. Okay, heroes are people who go above and beyond what is expected. Yes, there are teachers who are heroes. Yes, there are firemen and police and military personnel who are heroes. But the real person I want to call your attention to in this case, the real people, we need to recognize Langendorf and Williford for the heroes that they are. They were not being paid to do this. According to, you know, many in the gun-grabbing media, they were not, you know, not qualified, not capable of doing something like this. But guess what? They saw something happening, and when it would have been entirely acceptable for them to look the other way, hunker down, protect themselves, you know, for Williford to just stay wherever he was and ensconce himself there and protect himself, or for Langendorf to just keep on driving, they didn't do that. Instead, they saw what was going on, and they said, not today, not on my watch. I'm going to do something about this. And then they did. They did do something about it. And something else that just infuriates me about this situation is, again, going back to the gun-grabbing media, who will get in their cars and drive 200 miles out of the way just to miss the point, is I've heard things already like, well, you know, there was a good guy with a gun there, and it didn't make a difference. Really? Is that really what you're going to say right now? Okay, first of all, that 26 people are dead, and that the number one thing you want to do is use their bodies to stand on as a platform to spout your nonsense. Okay, but secondly, you're going to tell me it didn't make a difference. Okay, you know, here's what I'll give you. It did not make a difference inside that church. You're right in that regard. This filthy monster was able to go in, and he was able to do what he did because, and you know, here's the thing. I don't want to be equally guilty of building a platform out of the bodies of the fallen, okay? So that's not what I'm trying to do now. What I'm trying to do is just point out the truth of this situation, okay? No one inside that church was armed. When an armed man goes up against an unarmed man, he will win with monotonous regularity, okay? And unfortunately, it breaks my heart that no one in that church was able to fight back. Listen, I'm a Christian. I go to church as well. And I believe in all the teachings of Christ in the Bible and in forgiveness and loving your enemy. But here's the thing. You can forgive and you can love your enemy and also at the same time keep your friends and family from being murdered. Okay? I don't know what the deal is with this idea of Christian pacifism and this notion that, you know, we should all, you know, the carrying guns is somehow inherently wrong, or that, you know, being willing to fight and protect life is wrong. You know, my understanding of reading the Bible was that giving into evil is evil. And that's not me, you know, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not accusing the people in this church of anything, of any wrongdoing. I'm not saying they brought this on themselves. I'm not saying it's their fault. It's not. These people were minding their own business. They were worshiping God in his house, and some evil monster took it upon himself to come in and attack them. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. The point I'm simply making is this. No one in that church was armed, to my knowledge. No one in that church effectively fought back. And unfortunately, 26 people died. However, the second this monster left that church and he encountered a citizen warrior armed with a rifle of his own, with the courage and guts to do what needed to be done, he crumpled. Okay? It was ended right there. Now, I don't know what his plans were after leaving that church. I don't know if he was going to go to another church and murder people there. I don't know if he was just done and he was going to go back to his house and drink a beer. I don't know. But here's what I do know. I'm not going to trust the restraint of a person who just murdered 26 people. Okay? And if you're going around saying that the presence of a gun didn't make a difference in this situation, you're an idiot. Okay? You're an idiot at best. At worst, you're being disingenuous to push an agenda that's not going to save lives. It's going to get people killed. So, bullcrap. I call bullcrap on that. This absolutely, it did make a difference. Because like I said, I don't know what he was going to do, but I do know I'm not going to trust the restraint and good judgment of a monster who just murdered 26 people. All right? He needs to be put down. He needs to be stopped. Now, always remember, okay, going back to Ron Borsch's statistics, the fastest way to stop the killing, which also leads to saving lives, is to get in there and fight. Okay, is rapid, immediate, ultra-violent action to meet that force with overwhelming force and ensure that a stop is put to it. All right, so that's the lesson that I want to leave you with today. Now, some final housekeeping before I sign off for the day. Okay. Like I said, this is part one. This is Stop the Killing part one. Next week, I'm going to air Stop the Killing part two. And we're going to talk about specific tips and training advice, things that you need to know if you are going to man up, if you're going to be a citizen warrior, and if you're going to get in there and stop the killing. All right? Now, I want to remind you, again, you can find the show notes for this episode, okay? That is to say, you can find links to sources cited, okay? And you can find a link to help support the show by going to AppalachianTacticalAcademy.com/episode001. That is, again, AppalachianTacticalAcademy.com/episode001. Go there. You can find this episode. You can find links to the resources, the sources cited on this episode, and you can also find a link to support us. If you shop on Amazon.com, consider using that link, and then before you do your shopping to support this show. It won't cost you any extra. So with that said, I want to remind you, this is Josh Bells with Appalachian Tactical Academy. You've been listening to the Citizen Warrior Show. Be a warrior, protect what's yours, do what's right. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.